Shalom, Ms. Pekah, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my happy soulmate and minister of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Tada, my dear, and Erev Tov to you all. And yes, we should all be happy to be the bride of Christ. Okay, so we've been looking at typology, and last week we saw how the Holy Spirit, as the Father's agent, woos us before we are saved, and then gives us gifts. And tonight we will look at how Jesus also fulfills the groom's Jewish customs for the choosing of his bride. But first, let us give thanks to our Lord.
Most High Heavenly Father, there are no words to express our gratitude for sending your Son, proving your deep love for your people. We thank you, Yeshua, for setting aside the glories of heaven to pay with your death our penalty for sin. And now, because you live, we can live forever. Meanwhile, we can face tomorrow's days of uncertainty, knowing it's you that holds our future. We lift up to you our unsaved loved ones, that they will seek your face as we witness the signs of your return becoming more prevalent. And we pray for Israel's soon and complete victory. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, update on Israel.
Well, Washington and the international community continues to demand a six-week ceasefire. Also, so Muslims can adhere to their holy month of Ramadan beginning March 10th. But in the past, Ramadan has proven to be anything but holy or even peaceful. And this is bad. Washington also announced a reversal of Trump's U.S. position on Israeli communities in Judea and Samaria, calling them illegitimate occupiers and inconsistent with international law. Are you kidding me?
Are they ignorant of the 67 war when Israel won it all back?
Well, they declared this right after Israel announced that they had some plans for building like 3,000 new homes in these already existing communities. But that was in response to an attack that they got last week by Palestinian gunmen near Jerusalem that killed one Israel and wounded five. And you might recall back in 2019, Trump's Secretary of State Pompeo declared that the United States no longer considers these Israeli communities a violation of international law.
Biden keeps turning on. He keeps turning on Israel.
Oh, yeah, and that is a no-no to God.
How did the Republicans respond?
Well, House Speaker Johnson said the Jewish people have a historic and legal right to live in the land of Israel, including in Judea and Samaria, their biblical heartland. It is an absolute disgrace that the Biden administration would issue this decision, especially as Israel fights terrorists on multiple fronts who seek their destruction.
And still over 130 hostages.
Mm-hmm. The Biden administration better stop undermining and delegitimizing Israel, as it will move what's left of God's blessing even further away. You know, God said, I will bless those who bless Israel.
And curse those who don't. Genesis 12:3.
Yep. And last week, Netanyahu did lay out an after-war extensive plan for Gaza, and as of this morning, the plan was to move the civilians out of Rafah, many into Egypt, then hit Rafah hard, as many of the Hamas leadership is still hiding in the tunnels there.
Can Bibi withstand the pressure from the U.S. and U.N.?
Well, only if he moves quickly. Biden said yesterday there should be a ceasefire agreement by next Monday, but Hamas is making delusional demands of thousands of murderers set free from Israeli prisons. And then there's the tit-for-tat bombing with Hezbollah, and that still continues up north.
Meanwhile, the Houthis continue attacking ships in the Red Sea.
Right. In spite of the United States and Britain carrying out another round of large-scale military strikes Saturday against approximately 18 sites in Yemen, which is controlled by Houthi militants. And they did that so to possibly degrade their ability to attack ships in those sea lanes that are very critical for global trade. But it has not deterred them, saying they won't stop till Israel leaves Gaza.
They are nearing 60 attacks since November.
And then again on Sunday, they targeted another ship, but were unsuccessful because we shot it down, which, by the way, costs us many millions of dollars to intercept just one incoming missile.
And then there's China.
Yes, and we've talked about China a lot because they're infiltrating America. In fact, they're in all our markets. And now California once again takes the cake by appointing a Chinese non-citizen, Kelly Wong is her name, to San Francisco's election committee. Now, mind you, she can't even vote herself, but is on the committee that decides their election rules.
China really is inside our gates.
They even hold shares in our stock market. And as we said last week, China surely doesn't and would not allow 30,000 of their healthy young men just to leave.
Yep, they do have a plan.
And then I heard this, well, China won't even take them back.
Well, yeah, that's a huge clue.
Many of these Chinese are also setting up small businesses, as in massage parlors and various shops, as a probable front for sex and drug trafficking.
Where are they getting that money?
Well, I assume China's getting it to them. And then they will probably join along with immigrant gangs to form an army on our homeland, just waiting for their orders. Oh, and a Biden golf buddy came clean and said Joe was considering being on the board of a Chinese energy company, CEFC, when his vice presidency was over.
Perhaps that is why he didn't run for president in 2016.
Yeah, and he blamed that decision on his son Beau's death. And that's just my thoughts. But I'm thinking, gosh, being on that board would have been much more lucrative. And as well, we know that he had to step aside for Hillary. Anyhow, China probably felt Joe would be even more useful as president in 2020, which most know China helped him win.
No doubt.
Bottom line, because we have Bible prophecy, as in Jeremiah 30:11, there is a plan to take down America.
And Iran and Russia will help them do it.
Oh, yeah, right. The alliance is already formed. Also, they need to end American power before it goes after Israel in Ezekiel 38. It makes it clear in that scripture that Israel has no allies in that wall, in that war, so we're not around. Only God. And by the way, Israel does win. In fact, it's that war in the tribulation where Israel recognizes their Savior from that day forward. You can read that in Ezekiel 38, verse 23, and confirmed again in Ezekiel 39, verse 22. Oh, and one more thing is we read in Matthew 24 about the persecution of his own. Christians are being persecuted everywhere, even in America.
Sadly, more since Biden's been in office.
Yeah, many examples. But for instance, in 2021, several pro-life activists were arrested for praying and singing hymns in the front lobby of an abortion clinic in Tennessee. In 2022, 11 more were arrested for peaceful protesting, and they're facing 11 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. As well, Paul Vaughn, the apparent organizer, was arrested at his house at gunpoint in front of his family. And last year, pro-life activists were physically attacked by thugs while protesting outside a D.C. Planned Parenthood.
And police refused to charge the attackers, even despite the video.
I know. Lawlessness abounds.
That's fine.
And, of course, we know that because Matthew 24 prophesies it. Oh, and lastly, Hunter Biden will finally appear tomorrow in a closed door deposition, and unlike his Uncle Jim, he will be under oath.
Yeah, well, he'll just plead the fifth.
Probably.
Okay, we welcome all of your comments and end-time questions, either by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Please consider a love offering, which is always appreciated, and any correspondence will place you on our newsletter mailings. You can also bless us with your donation on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all our past radio and newsletters are archived for your continued learning pleasure. Okay, last week we taught on three different ways a Jewish betrothment could happen.
First by the father, perhaps even from birth. And of course, God our Father chose to have a bride for his son from the very beginning. Last week we looked at the second way for the bride to be chosen, and that was from an agent or matchmaker, as was in the case of Isaac and Rebekah. And we saw the typology of how the Holy Spirit acts as God's agent who woos us toward accepting Christ as our groom. Always our choice, of course, as it was always the couple's individual choice as well. So tonight we will look at the typology of a Jewish man personally choosing a bride for himself.
So, a maiden who might spark his eye.
Yes. Anyhow, he would go to her home and talk with her father and brothers and talk of the dowry price and the betrothal contract called a ketubah. And wine was poured from the wineskin into the cup.
That pictures how Jesus came to our home, the earth.
Mm-hmm. And another typology is that Jesus discussed the dowry price at the Last Supper, which was the Seder meal on Passover, because it was now after sundown, when they all drank the wine in agreement. And by the way, it would remain Passover till sundown the next day. So he fulfilled Passover when he died at 3 o'clock. Called Twixt the Evening.
And we'll cover that again in April.
We will. This phase of the Jewish betrothal is called the Erusin, where the maiden would drink of the wine if she accepted the ketubah, which included her responsibilities and the groom's promises to her.
Which is our Bible.
It is. And I am constantly in awe of how God put all of this together for our learning and to strengthen our faith that there really is a God.
Or who else could arrange such detail?
Nobody. And knowing our roots magnifies it all. And as in the Last Supper Seder meal, when the disciples drank from the cup of acceptance, we too confirm our contract when we take communion and drink of the wine. The groom would then pay the bride price, called the mahar, with the promise to return for her. The virgin maiden was then set apart to wait for the groom's return.
We too are set apart for Yeshua to return.
And he did pay the bride price with his blood on the cross for us.
We only have to accept the receipt.
We do.
So now the betrothal is legally binding.
Yes, legally. In fact, they would need a writ of divorce called a get to annul it. And although legally bound, they could not cohabit together until after he would return for her. In fact, the groom's last statement before leaving their house would be, "I now go to my father's house to prepare a place for you."
Well, that's like Jesus said in John 14:2.
Exactly. It was standard wedding terminology. And now let's look at the Greek word place. Number 5117, topos, which means a room. But in the Hebrew, the word is hadar, which means a private chamber, number 2314, as the private place for the honeymoon. Let's look at Isaiah 26, and this is the Old Testament, where it also refers to the righteous being hidden while the wrath of God is on the earth. The rapture, friends, is not a New Testament idea. And I encourage you to do a deep dive in Isaiah 26, as it begins with the opening of the gates for the righteous. That's our resurrection. But then Isaiah speaks of how even the unrighteous dead, they're just not going to be a part of that first living resurrection in verse 14.
Their rising comes much later.
Yes, later at the great white throne judgment, which is at the end of the millennial kingdom, just before eternity. And here's what really should speak to all of us as we will enter into his chamber, or Hadar. In fact, let's read that in verse 20 of Isaiah 26.
Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little while, until the indignation has passed.
Now the ESV says, till his fury has passed. But we know this to be the tribulation, as the same word is used in Daniel 8:19, and that's number 2195, Zayam. And then we see in verse 21 of Isaiah 26, when at the end of the indignation, Jesus comes out of his place and returns to earth, which is his second coming, to finish punishing the evil inhabitants.
Well, that's as we read in Revelation 19.
So, anyhow, upon her accepting by drinking the wine, the groom would go to prepare the place for his bride. She would be busy making herself beautiful. Now, although it was in the Persian dynasty where Esther was there, she was preparing herself with oils and perfumes for a whole year just to stand in front of the king in chapter 2.
He did choose her.
He did.
And now, when leaving her house, she would wear a veil.
Yes, to show that she was spoken for and bought with a price and consecrated to her groom. Spiritually, we also need to prepare, becoming more beautiful and more bright white to God as we study our Bible, our ketubah contract, with Yeshua as we remain pure to him only.
Having no other gods before him.
And other gods can mean a variety of diversions more important than spending time with him.
Redeem your time wisely, Paul said.
And remember the rabbi's claim?
That studying God's word is the highest form of worship.
It is. Okay, so now the groom wanted the Hadar to be very pleasant, for they would live in there for 7 days, which was the required time for all honeymoons.
And considered unlawful, if any less.
Of course, this is a picture of our honeymoon with Christ, which has to be for a period of our 7.
Well, in our case, it's 7 years.
Because 7 represents the number for completion. And not so coincidentally is at the same time the tribulation is happening on earth.
That Jesus will remove us from.
Mm-hmm. And we have a biblical example in Genesis 29 of the necessity of the week-long honeymoon of Jacob and Leah. Remember Leah tricked him into thinking she was Rachel? And don't forget, the veil doesn't come off till after the consummation. So, upon his realization, Jacob stormed out of the Hadar to her father, Laban, who said, well, I can't give you my secondborn before my firstborn daughter, but you can have Rachel too after you serve me 7 more years. But first, you must finish and fulfill Leah's week of honeymoon. And so he did.
Things were sure different in those days.
Yes, but arranged by God for a reason, so we could know our honeymoon with Christ must also be for 7. And I emphasize that fact due to those who say the rapture doesn't occur till the middle of the tribulation. Obviously, they just don't understand the customs and culture, which I'll say it again, God purposely arranged everything in precise detail so we could learn how it would be with us. It's a simple fact that knowing our roots is a must if you want to go deeper, and especially if you want real eschatological knowledge.
Being ignorant of our roots brings error.
Let me also emphasize, we're not talking legalism here, but rather to recognize how much he freed us from all their legalism. Instead, to appreciate and to learn how Jesus fulfills every detail necessary with his first coming, and then we can more easily understand how he will fulfill the other details at his second coming.
But first, the great escape, Luke 21:36.
Amen. It would also be customary to surprise the bride as to the groom's arrival, to sweep her away to his father's house for the wedding and honeymoon.
So she didn't know the exact day or hour.
Right. However, the groom's friends could tell when getting close by watching the signs of the Hadar completion.
Was the roof on? Was the windows in?
Even the curtains. So yes, the groom's friends had a better idea and could give her hope as to how close. Question is, are you a friend of God? You know, Abraham was a friend to God. We read that in Isaiah 41, verse 8. The Hebrew word for friend is ahab, number 157, and it means to have affection for.
And so was Moses, Ezekiel 33:11. Exodus 33:11.
Oh, that's right. So again, are you his friend? John 15, verses 13 and 14 says, yes, we can, if we would be willing to lay down our life, to take up our cross and follow him, Matthew 16:24. If you answered yes, then you too will have a better insight as to his return. You know, I talked to a Christian last week who I had just met at a nutritional meeting and said Jesus was very close to returning, I told him. And he said, well, sister, no one knows the day or the hour, which is the standard answer for Christians who don't do their homework. I actually get a better response from the unsaved. Anyway, I answered, well, he didn't say we couldn't know the year. And in fact, James 5 refers to his coming at the great harvest, which is in the fall. As well, Daniel 12:4 says, our knowledge will increase. And I believe that verse applies to our spiritual knowledge as well, which is why the Holy Spirit in 1947 guided that goat into the cave so that little Bedouin boy would find the Dead Sea Scrolls hidden there since around 73 A.D., when the Romans were on their way to the very dry Judean desert to take the Jews hiding on top of Mount Masada. But the Romans were surprised when most of them committed suicide rather than be beaten and raped. Then the Romans went to Qumran for the Essenes, but they hid their extensive writings in the caves and fled the area. John the Baptist was thought to be an Essene, for they were true followers of God and knew all about the two arrivals of a Messiah. They even questioned if Jesus was also the one to be king, or should there be another. So let me ask you, what do you do in your spare time? Are you redeeming it wisely? Are you longing passionately to see him? Do you even know the Lord at all? It's time to get it right. He's your Savior. Read his love story written for you. He will give you the power needed over the sin that torments you. Christ alone paid your entire debt for your sins. Accept his receipt. It's your move, and it's always your choice. I want to leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in many different ways. Psalm 122, verse 6. Shalom. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.